Let's pray together. Awesome God, thank you so much for your presence with us. God, thank you for the joy that is so clearly evident in this place. And God, we pray that you would know that it is because of you that we have it. And now, God, I pray that you would bless these words that you have given me. And God, as I share them this morning, I pray that there would be more of you in them and less of me. I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to ask you a question that may very well come across as rhetorical, and I guess it kind of is. But do you know people who seem to take pride in how little they care about what other people think? Do you know people who actually seem proud to not care what other people think about them? Not caring what other people think of us, sadly, seems to have become something like a badge of honor for us to wear wherever we go these days. I hear people brag about it all the time. As a society, we have gotten pretty cocky about what we can and cannot do or say or think. And so we do and say and think what we want, regardless of what other people might think about it, regardless of how it might affect other people and how they receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe this has always been the case to some degree, but it sure seems to me like it's more prevalent now than it used to be. At least some people seem to be an awful lot more proud of that stance that they take these days. I sort of think that it has to do with the polarization that is developing and has developed in our country. We are so very divided these days, aren't we? We're so divided. And that division pits us against each other. Have you noticed it? Have you? The division pits us against each other. It puts unhealthy space between us and gets in the way of reconciliation and healthy, loving relationships. The divisions between us and our reaction to those divisions have caused people to literally stop caring about others. It's caused us to literally stop caring about others, especially others who are not on our side of the divisions. And so we can say things like, I don't care what anybody else thinks about me, because sometimes, guess what? We don't care what other people think about us. It's really sad when you look at it that way, isn't it? I hope it's sad to you, church. It's really sad, and it really isn't consistent with the gospel message either. It can't be reconciled if you know the gospel to be able to justify not caring what anybody thinks about you. Because guess what? You represent Jesus, and you should care what people think about him. Amen? My hope through the passage that we just heard and this message God gave me to share about it this morning is that we will recognize the danger in all of that, the danger in all that I just talked about. I hope that we'll recognize that it affects how we carry the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world, because it affects how we love God and it affects how we love our neighbors. And to me, that means we absolutely should care what other people think, even if we don't think the same way. I have to be honest, though, I do this sometimes. It's confession time, right? It will be anyway. For me, I'll go now. I do this sometimes. I get puffed up. Don't you love those words Paul uses? Don't get puffed up. I get puffed up about things sometimes. And looking back, I realize it's prideful and it's reckless for me, a follower of Jesus and a carrier of his gospel, to be that way, to allow myself to get puffed up. I suspect that it's no secret to most of you that I have a gigantic tattoo on my right forearm. Is anybody surprised? I got it for a number of reasons. One being that I wanted it. But another being that my understanding and my interpretation of the Levitical law that appears to prohibit it in relation to what I know Jesus came here to do allows me to have it. It allows me to have a tattoo. You see, I believe Jesus literally fulfilled what the law, including the part about tattoos, was unable to fulfill. Jesus literally fulfilled the law fulfilled what was intended by the law, that the law was actually unable to fulfill. And so following it and adhering to it is no longer an expectation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who believe he came to be the last living sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins once and for all. I possess that knowledge, but just because I believe that, and just because I can justify having a tattoo on my right forearm, does not mean that I should flaunt it and expect everyone else to automatically be where I am on the subject. Just because I am okay with it does not give me the right to stop caring about the people for whom it is not okay, the people who might be offended by it. As a follower of Jesus and a carrier of the gospel, it should always matter to me what other people think and how other people see me carrying the gospel and representing Jesus in the world. But sometimes I allow my knowledge to puff me up, which is not a very responsible way for me to carry the gospel around. Do you ever get puffed up? Some of you are actually doing it, aren't you? Do you ever get puffed up? Do you ever allow yourself to get prideful about the things you know you're free to say or do or think? Do you ever say those words that have become so popular lately in this country? I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what anybody thinks. Or if they don't like it, too bad. If they don't like it, too bad. Can you see unhealthy pride in your life? Pride that very well could lead someone astray. That could lead someone with weaker faith away from Jesus instead of toward him. Do you ever let your liberties, your freedoms, turn into potential stumbling blocks for other people? Do you ever do that? I can almost hear you thinking right now. I can almost hear you thinking something like, I am so sick of hearing about political correctness and how people get so offended by certain things these days, and now the pastor is jumping on the bandwagon. Well, just so you know, I've been there for a while, but I can hear you thinking that, and I can almost hear you, some of you thinking, I am not going to be told what to do and what to say based on whether or not someone might be offended by it. Am I close? Am I in the neighborhood of what some of you are thinking right now? One of the gifts of being a pastor is knowing your congregation. Well, I hope that you'll hear me out. If you're one of the people thinking this way, I hope that you'll hear me out, because listen, I'm preaching from the Word of God today. Amen? I always preach from the Word of God, but today I find it most important to remind you that I'm preaching from the Word of God today. God's Word is where this message came from. God's Word and how I heard him and am hearing him lead me to speak about it. And I promise it's not intended to be about politics, and it's not about political correctness either. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus' followers, and it's about how we love our neighbors or don't. That is all. That is what it's about. Because you see, the first century Corinthian church, they were having the same kind of problems. The first century Corinthian church was apparently having some trouble putting people above liberty and pride, kind of like our 21st century trouble with the same exact thing, right? Well, that was affecting the spread of the gospel. It was affecting how Jesus was being represented by the church, by the followers of Jesus. The people Paul was writing to, they had knowledge, right? They had knowledge, much like the knowledge that I believe I possess about tattoos. It was knowledge that they believed permitted them to eat food sacrificed to idols, which went against the Levitical law. It went clearly against the Levitical law. And so they had the knowledge that they were able to still do that because of the freedom they have in Christ. Paul agreed with them. Paul agreed with them. He possessed the same knowledge that they possessed. He believed, based on his understanding of Jesus and what Jesus came to do and the irrelevance of idols, that it was okay to eat meat sacrificed to idols. Because Paul was saying this meat was sacrificed to nothing. An idol is nothing. So he wrote to them. He said, food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. He was saying, you're right, people. You're right. Your knowledge is correct. You do have the freedom to eat whatever you want to eat, because you know idols are just that. Idols, they're empty. And you know there is only one God, right? The creator of all things, and one Lord, Jesus Christ. But then Paul went on to say what I believe to be the key verse in this whole passage. He said, yeah, you're right about that. You can eat meat sacrificed to idols. But then he says, but take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you who possess knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? Listen, Paul was speaking to the believers who had knowledge about the liberty they had to eat this meat, and he was speaking about others who do not possess that same knowledge. The believers with the knowledge were flaunting that knowledge and the freedom that it offered to the detriment of others. That's what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. They were flaunting the knowledge, and it was hurting other weaker believers. And so Paul told them, take care, church, that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. In other words, don't allow your pride to affect how you carry the gospel of Jesus into the world. Listen, I know a lot of this passage doesn't make cultural sense to us, does it? You don't hear a lot of conversations in the coffee shop based on meat that has been sacrificed to idols, do you? I mean, I think I'd like to visit that coffee shop if there is one, but this passage isn't really about that anyway. This passage isn't about meat sacrificed to idols. This passage is about how followers of Jesus carry the gospel. That's what it's about. This passage is about how we represent Christ in the world. This passage is about the dangers of allowing our freedoms to become more important to us than other people, than other followers of Christ, right? And the connection from them to us, from first century Corinth to 21st century America or Dyer, is that we are still tempted in the same way. We are still tempted to allow our freedoms, our liberties, to be stumbling blocks to others. We still allow our freedoms to have a negative effect on how we carry the gospel and represent Jesus Christ. We have the knowledge that we can say what we want and think what we want and do what we want. And sometimes we get really prideful about that to the point of actually saying those words, I don't care what anybody else thinks. That's the connection from then to now. Pride. Pride is the connection. And the danger of allowing pride to affect how other people see Jesus in us or don't see Jesus in us. So if you get to the heart of Paul's message here, it's actually very relevant for this church, isn't it? For this church being the 21st century church. It's a first century letter that's relevant to the 21st century church. And I think Paul's words are clear here, right? I mean, this is the word of God, and I believe that his words are clear. He's saying, church, it's great that you have liberty to do and say certain things and to eat certain things, but care more about people than you do about how free you are to say certain things and do certain things. It's great that you can do it, but don't let that be more important than how you love people, right? And I can see him saying, sometimes doing whatever you want to do and saying whatever you want to say can lead other people astray, can lead others away from Jesus. And that should matter to you. That should matter to you, church. That should matter to followers of Jesus and carriers of the gospel. If we really want everyone to know the love of Jesus and the hope that we can have through him, we should always care about what they think about us. There shouldn't be a moment when we don't care what they think about us, because what they think of us may very well be what they think of Jesus, right? That is what I believe Paul was trying to get across in this letter. Care about however other people think about you, because it's probably how they think about Jesus. Paul loved the freedom that we have through Christ. Read the book of Galatians sometimes. It's all about how much Paul loved the freedom that we have in Christ. He loved to speak about how Jesus set us free from a law we could not abide by. But as indicated through this passage, Paul loved people more than freedom, and he wanted the church to do the same. He wrote to the Galatian church in a similar manner as he wrote to the Corinthian church. He said, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So these words and the words that we're looking at from 1 Corinthians are all about loving our neighbor, aren't they? They aren't about political correctness or freedom of speech. They're not. They're about loving our neighbor or not loving our neighbor. Paul wanted love to be more important to Christians than getting to do whatever you want to do and say whatever you want to say with no regard for others. Paul wanted the church to love people like Jesus loved people. Paul wanted followers of Jesus to have knowledge, yes. He wanted them to recognize the freedoms that they have, but even more importantly, he wanted followers of Jesus to love their neighbors and do nothing and say nothing that might get in the way of the gospel spreading to the ends of the earth. Amen? It's a pretty good hope that Paul had, I think. I believe that is the message God wants all of us to hear this morning, to leave here with this morning too. I believe God wants us to take pride in the freedom that we have in Christ, but not at the expense of loving our neighbors and showing them Jesus, who loves all people. We are so divided in this country right now, aren't we? You have to live under a rock not to know that. And one privilege that I have as a pastor is to know that none of you do. So we're divided as a country, and those divisions are so harmful to the relationships that we have with each other. It happens in this church, right? It happens in this community. It happens in our families. But we follow Jesus, don't we? I mean, don't you say you're a follower of Jesus?
Yes, yes.
Oh, thank the Lord that there's a couple followers of Jesus in here. We follow Jesus. We have this one thing that holds us together despite anything else, right? Despite our politics or our views or our race or our gender or our sexual orientation or anything else, we have this one thing that holds us together. What if we focused on that one thing? What if we focused on that one thing and stopped allowing the divisions and the disagreements to slow the spread of the gospel? What if we loved our neighbors enough to make sacrifices for them? What if they and their potential for hearing the gospel from us and knowing Jesus better through us actually became a priority for us, a bigger priority than choosing not to care what anybody thinks about us? There would still be divisions, right? And we would still disagree on stuff, but never to the point of allowing those divisions and those disagreements to hinder the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How are you carrying the gospel? How are you carrying the gospel these days? How are you carrying it on Facebook? There's actually memes now, like it's just a picture that you can click on and then put on your Facebook page. You know what it says? I don't care what anybody else thinks. You can just click on it and put it on Facebook and let the whole world know that you, a Christian, don't care what anybody else thinks. How are you carrying the gospel on Facebook? How are you carrying the gospel on Twitter? How are you carrying the gospel in the lobby after worship on Sundays? How are you carrying the gospel in your everyday life? How are you carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because listen, it's not a question of whether or not you are. You are. When you come here and when you leave here, that means you're carrying the gospel with you, whether you know it or not. The people out there do. And so how are you carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you love your neighbors? All of them? Do you love them? Do you love them enough to care whether or not you offend them? That's a deep one, isn't it? Do Do you love your neighbors enough to care whether or not you offend them? Do you love them enough to sacrifice your pride for them so that maybe, even if you disagree on everything else, you can agree on Jesus? That's my prayer for us this morning. I pray that we would care what other people think, because we know we might represent Jesus to them. I pray that we would love our neighbors even more than we love our liberties. And I pray the gospel will be spread and Jesus will be known because of the selfless, sacrificial love we are willing to share, even and maybe especially with the people that we don't agree with. Let's pray together. Awesome God, thank you for Paul. God, thank you for his boldness. Thank you for the 8th chapter of his letter to the Corinthian church. And God, I pray that you would help us to learn something from it in the 21st century church. God, help us to know that it's okay. It's okay to be careful not to offend people, because God, offending them just might send them away from Jesus. God, I pray that you would help that to matter to us. So God, give us the strength that I know that will take. God, help us to be glad for our liberties, but to love people more than we love them. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.